This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in. It is Sharp Money here on VSIN. I'm Jeff Parles. Dustin, regular crew is here. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We're happy to be with you. Amal, how was your weekend, Amal? You have a good weekend?
I did. Thank you. Got out of town, but other than that, it was very good. Missed a little bit of the heat. And tell you what, a little disappointed we're hitting the baseball all-star break right now because the Padres are playing well. And by the way, Dustin and I were talking about Blake Snell, and man, this guy just continues to sizzle. Spencer Strider was great, but you know, we can talk about your Mets and Dustin's Mets.
I was going to say, Dustin legitimately walked in today, got to give us some time to talk about Blake Snell, and you made it 30 seconds before mentioning Blake Snell.
Well, you know, I just want people to know who the National League Cy Young Award winner is going to be.
Right now, Snell, so when we were on the air on Friday, Snell was still, 18-1 on Friday still, and now he's down under 7-1, plus 650 at DK right now. And after watching him again, and this is not where we expected to start, but I'm good with going this year, Amal. There is no one on the planet who has been better than Blake Snell the last 2 months. No one. And we've seen guys like this come from way behind in order to win Cy Youngs. We saw it a few years ago with Robbie Ray, who was 100-1 in the middle of July, winning the AL Cy Young. 2015, Jake Arrieta had the epic 3-month stretch to take the NL Cy Young almost unanimously this year. This run by Snell is like Arrieta's in 2015, where Arrieta was unhittable for three months. Snell's on 2 months where he's unhittable right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you look at what he's been able to do, it's been outstanding. He was dominant. He worked around some situations the last couple of starts, done a great job. Tell you what, though, don't overlook Zach Gallen and Spencer Strider. Gallen was great. Kershaw's pitching extremely well. I still think, though, Blake Snell has a lot to overcome. He's got to continue this. His numbers are not bad. You know, when you look at the beginning of the year, he didn't get off to a bad start, Jeff. But to me, I think the thing is right now you've got these three guys that are ahead of him. And I don't like the way this award is kind of done in the sense that they're really, if you look at it objectively, nobody should be more than a 4-1 number at this point in time. These guys, all four should be about the same number.
I tend to agree with you, Amal. And the one thing, there's detractions for all of them. Snell off to a bad start, but he's not that same guy anymore. Kershaw's hurt. Gallen can't pitch on the road. Strider strikes out of the world, but a little inconsistent. But we'll get into this a little further a little bit later. Also, Logan Webb had an amazing end to the first half yesterday, a complete game shutout against the Rockies to move himself to the same number as Marcus Stroman. Amal, I know this came out during your show on Friday, but as I let this marinate over the weekend, so the NBA is doing this European-style in-season tournament, and the betting implications of this, I don't think most people understand that there are going to be plenty of betting opportunities that are not normal to regular NBA betting. Because the way this format is going, it's all 30 teams are in this tournament, three groups of five in each conference, so six groups total. The games will be on Tuesday and Friday nights in the month of November. The winners of each group advance. The best non-group winner in each conference advances to the quarters. Then the quarters will be played in early December with the semifinals a few days after that on December 7th and the championship on December 9th here in Vegas. And Amal, you bet soccer. You know international soccer as well as anyone here at the network. The last day of Champions League, Europa League, Conference League is one of the squirreliest betting days on the calendar anywhere. And this can come to the NBA in-season tournament. And I don't think a lot of bettors who bet the NBA on a regular basis are going to be used to that type of thing, especially early, which could create some really interesting betting opportunities, at least on that final day of group stage.
You know, you're absolutely right. But I'll tell you one thing. When you look at outside of Champions League or maybe Europa for certain teams, you're not getting everyone fielding their best players and necessarily putting their best foot forward. And this is the one area I have concern. If you're an NBA team, I think there's supposed to be some financial prize pool here at the end of this thing.
There is, yes.
How much money are you giving Damian Lillard, LeBron James, and these guys to worry about this?
So here's what I'll say real quick. The younger team. So when we were talking about this yesterday, JVT and I on Live Bet Sunday, the younger teams that haven't won anything yet.
Right.
So the guys who are on lesser contracts, mm-hmm. the guys who haven't been deep in the playoffs. So let's take, you know, I know Sabonis just got paid.
Right.
And I know Fox got paid. But let's take Sacramento, okay?
Yep.
A young team that finally got back in the playoffs for the first time in forever last year. And they didn't never, this group hasn't won a playoff series. Proving to the league, all right, you know what? We want to try in this thing. We want to win this thing. We want to prove we're one of the better teams in this league. This is a really good spot in order to do this. The other teams like that would also be good in this are the teams that are borderline playoff teams. Because remember, these games in group play count as regular season games them all. So for like, let's look at the Eastern Conference. For the likes of Indiana, for the likes of Brooklyn, for the likes of those teams that are borderline playoff teams, they're going to be taking these games more seriously than the Celtics, the Sixers, who are teams that, look, they're going to be in the playoffs anyway, you slice it them all. But this game in December made me more into Brooklyn because, A, it's a tournament game, and, B, it might keep them out of a play-in spot.
Yeah, maybe you're right about that. I just, look, I'm not a fan of this. I actually think the FA Cup in Europe sucks in England. I think it's terrible. I mean, you see the second team that Man City fields in there. You see the same thing United does. You see it with Chelsea. You see it with all these high-level teams in England, not necessarily putting their best foot forward, even when they're in the championship. So I'm not necessarily a big fan of this. Look, I'm looking at the payouts right now. Playing players on winning team championship, $500,000 each. Yeah. That's a good payout. Okay, losing team $200,000, another solid payout. But players in the semis $100,000 each. Losing team quarterfinals $50,000 each. $50,000. I mean, have you actually looked at the breakdown of how much money these guys make? Anthony Edwards is going to make $1 million a week next year. Do you really think he's even going to notice this kind of money? I mean, all I'm saying is, what is the problem? If your league is that bad, then you should do something about it. Because that tells me that you think your league during the regular season is that bad. There's always been a solution that everyone's talked about for a long time, and I think it's the most prudent one. Start the NBA on Christmas Day. You know, you got to give up about 25 to 30 games, but then you would actually get engagement in it. You're trying to go up against the biggest gorilla in sports, which is the NFL. You're not going to beat it. But to me, I don't think, where are you going to get this interest? Why? Because you get a free trip to Vegas? I want to see. I actually hope a couple guys get arrested. It'll make it more interesting.
So I got to counter you here real quick. So this is not for the person who's watching the NBA every night. We know this. It's not for you.
You think it's getting the guy who's only watching in June?
I think it could get the guy who's only watching in June for those Saturday, for those semifinals and finals, and for those quarterfinals. Because again, Amal, we live in a society where people like the shiny object. And even though that NBA Cup looks ridiculous, it is a horrible trophy. It's a horrible-looking trophy. It is still technically a shiny object. And it's something that people are going to pay attention to. And also, the one thing with the way that the semifinals and finals got scheduled, they schedule it not against the conference championship weeks in college football. They scheduled it against Army-Navy, which will be earlier in the day on that Saturday on the 9th.
Right.
So they will be able to have basically, and the NFL doesn't have Saturday games yet. There's no bowl games.
Correct.
They will have a monopoly on the sports watching calendar on December the 9th.
You're not wrong, but you know what the rest of us do, and you're one of them, and I know Dustin's one of these guys because we're all watching college football since the last Saturday in August.
You take it off.
You take it off because you know the bowl games are the next weekend and the following weekend. I'm not worried about some NBA play-in tournament that has no determination in terms of what's going to happen in the big picture of the NBA season. I'll give you a perfect example. If you go to Europe and you ask, when did Chelsea win the Champions League, right? When Didier Drogba beat Bayern in Munich, you can remember that one if you're a Chelsea fan. When did they win the FA Cup, you'd have to sit there and be like, I don't know. Nobody cares about this. Listen, let me tell you something. The NBA needs to get rid of their two commissioners, LeBron James and Adam Silver.
You promoted LeBron to commissioner?
Oh, he's always been the commissioner.
You promoted him again?
You think they were coming back in the bubble if it weren't for LeBron?
Oh, man. Doesn't the bubble feel like it was 25 years ago now?
I don't know. I didn't watch much of it, thank God. But, you know, they dominate May and June, right? You know, this is part of the problem with the NBA. You have a postseason. We talked about this all the time on the show. You play these games in the playoffs. You have teams playing back-to-backs during the regular season. Then the playoffs, you're like, hey, listen, we'll play you on Monday.
And we'll play you on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, what are they doing?
So here, the one last thing I will say with this, Amal, because I'm a fan of trying new things. And they're not going to be one and done with this. They've committed to this for a few years now. They're not going for the guys that are 40s or older. They're not going for that. They're going for the younger gen here to get more interest in December. I don't think there's any problem with going for the more casual fan. I get that I get college football bettors. You're right. You're 100% right. That Army-Navy day is a big relief because it's one game to handicap, not 100 games to handicap. I agree with you. But one extra game, and especially for us living here, nice little carrot at the end of the day for us to go to this game potentially.
Are you going
to
go?
I plan on it. Especially.
Well, you can let me know.
Don't give it that look.
You can
don't
let me
give
know
it
how
that
it
look,
is,
Swadelson.
Jeff.
Don't give it a look.
This thing is going to happen, and you're going to be like, you know what? There's too many other things going on that I care about in my own life. This is dumb.
The tournament's dumb or the finals?
This
dumb?
Is just the whole thing is
the whole
dumb.
Thing. Yeah. So you and them all are
irrelevant. We're going to start putting, like, as an accomplishment for people, like, on their Hall of Fame placards.
Yes, in-season tournament MVP.
In-season tournament champion.
100%.
There's one trophy you play for, and it's named after a guy named Larry O'Brien. I don't even know who he was. I just know it's his trophy, and it's the only one that matters in the association.
Yeah, I saw the WNBA ratings exploded with the Commissioner's Cup.
I'm being completely facetious.
So tell me.
I know you are.
Why are we playing this tournament? Why does it matter?
It matters to get a new audience in, which, again, yes, there will be a new audience.
It's the only global American sport. It's
very well said.
That is true. I'll give you that. Well, technically hockey is, but we know how it breaks down. All right. That was a fun start to the show. More to get to. We're going to the Home Run Derby. I think the winner's coming from one specific matchup. We'll talk about it next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Want to get in on the fantasy action, but sick of managing your roster, sick of player injuries ending your season? With best ball at DraftKings, you get the best of your team all season long. This year, best ball on DraftKings is bigger than ever with $10 million in guaranteed cash prizes up for grabs. For a limited time, you can join DraftKings' largest best ball contest ever and get your first entry back in DraftKings dollars as soon as the draft is finished. Act now before this offer expires. To start playing best ball, download the DraftKings app today and use the code SHARP. That's SHARP. Enter DraftKings Best Ball Millionaire Contest and snake your team today for the upcoming season. Again, each week you'll automatically rack up points from all your scores. No ads, drops, or I should have played. Again, taking a shot at the top prize, $1 million for the team with the most points at the end of the season. What are you waiting for? Head to DraftKings right now. Sign up with the code SHARP and start playing best ball today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. One per customer. Opt-in required with $10 entry fee. Bonus issued is $10. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com/promotions for details. Welcome back in. It's Sharp Money. I'm Jeff Parles. Dustin Swadelson's here. Amal Shaw is here. I always like playing the heel. I always like playing the heel like I did in that first segment. That's usually your role, Amal.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not.
No, he was still the bad guy in the conversation.
Doesn't matter. It's fine. It makes no difference to me. But here's the thing. I'm not going to do that just to do that, right? Like, you just say what you think. If you disagree with it, it's fine. I mean, we can move on from this, but I just don't think it's going to be anything that benefits the NBA overall.
It won't be. Dustin was shaking his head the whole time and then came in.
I'm offended by it. I think it's offensive. I think it's an offensive thing to do to the people who supposedly care about your sport. You're playing games that are irrelevant. Like, yeah. I know they matter for the record still, but you're doing this little dog and pony show, and there's no real point to it other than there's a bonus and a different trophy. I don't understand the point of it.
The trophy is so bad, by the way. The trophy is so bad.
Look, if you genuinely want to improve the league, here's what you do. But the problem is the players would have to take a bit of a pay cut. You reduce the number of games from 82. What do we have? 30 teams in the NBA, 60 right?
60-something.
So what are there? 60 teams in the league? I mean,
30 teams, exactly.
So here's what you do. You play 58 games, and everybody plays one home and away. So everybody gets to see every player like they already do, but just you make it one home, one away. And you start the season later. But it'll hurt you from a television standpoint, and it'll hurt you from a ticket sales standpoint. However, think about how competitive the league would be if it's a 58-game schedule. Then all of a sudden, the intensity. Part of the problem that hurts the NBA is when you watch games in November and December, the argument is people don't care, meaning the players don't care. And the fans don't care either because there's the lack of effort in those games. I don't think they'll ever do it because nobody wants to relinquish money. But it, to me, it'd be the most prudent way to make your sport more effective. Think about why college football and the NFL are so popular, because it's such a small number of games. You can, like in college football, you can't have two slip-ups, right? You can lose once, and then the rest of the season, you're on thin ice. In the NFL, you can lose a few games, but still, that 17-game schedule puts you in a situation where you've got to be very effective. It's not like baseball, where you can have a Tampa Bay Rays 6-7-game losing streak. Nobody even think anything about it as you're sitting in first place.
I can't really argue it. By the way, I will say the optimal NBA thing would be, Amal, for me.
Yeah.
Dip it to 72, from 82 to 72. Play everyone in the opposite conference twice. You play everyone in your own conference three times. I think that would actually help things because again.
Wait, you play every do it again one.
So you go. There's 15 in each conference.
Yeah.
Three times 14 is 42.
Right, and then you play everyone else twice.
Yes, you play the other conference 15. Times 2, 30, 72. I think that would work perfectly.
And contract four teams.
Well, that will never happen.
That will never happen.
That will never. That's less likely to happen than the season getting cut down.
Yeah, exactly. No, that would never happen because they'd have to pay those owners out, right?
He's not wrong. We're not the 2002 Montreal Expos.
They didn't get contracted. They got
almost,
moved.
Though.
They got moved. But, I mean, if we're being real, when you look around the league, some of these rosters, when you get deep, like three guys off the bench, gets real translucent.
Well, again, if anything, it's going to turn into a 32-team league because Seattle and Vegas are going to get new teams probably in the next 5 years.
How are they going to do two West Coast teams, though? That's another thing. Get rid of the conferences.
Well, look, the only sport that I think should have conferences, well, I'm okay with baseball keeping the AL and the NL just for traditional sake, but get rid of the divisions. I've been on that for a while. And the NFL needs it because of the way the schedule is structured.
Yes.
Hockey does not need it, and the NBA doesn't need it. So you and I are in agreement there. I think they've said that they would just shift Memphis and New Orleans to the east and put the other two teams in the west.
Makes sense.
Geographically speaking, that makes sense.
Look,
you've had enough of this conversation.
I really have.
All right.
Third hour Amal in the first hour.
Let's go to a conversation that I know you have a lot to say about, too, Amal. The home run derby.
You don't like the home run derby?
Can't even tell you last time
watched the it. Of the non actual game events, it's this or the 3-point contest.
3-point shootout would be the best, but I think the last time I probably watched it was when Larry Bird won it.
But by the way, I will say this on the 3-point contest.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead,
Amal. No. I apologize, Jeff. No, please explain.
I had a big bet on Joe Harris a couple of years ago in the 3-point contest. I think there are bets to be made in both.
I'm not saying they're not. Why would I sit there and bet this when I know Blake Snell, when I know I can get Joe Musgrove against Max Scherzer plus 162 on the run line?
It goes with the common theme generally that I've found with you and working with you, is there are a lot of things you like and there's a lot of things you dislike, but there's nothing you dislike more than fun. And this is fun.
I got to give him credit for the line. That was pretty good. I got to give him that one. But I disagree on his overall assertion.
If you go on the DK menu, they have total home runs. Home runs. Longest home runs.
What is it, 484 feet?
490 and a half.
It's gone up because I saw here in Vegas it was 484 at William Hill and I researched it. The problem was majority of those long home runs were either hit at Coors or it was hit by Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge.
That makes a lot of sense.
And this year is at T-Mobile,
it's
right?
Not a good ballpark to hit homers
at. And we're in Seattle, right?
Yeah. Correct.
And I looked up the longest home run hit in Seattle was like 456.
It's a very big pitcher's park, deep gaps. Also, I would say the field. Like, I think Pete Alonso, Jeff, you and I watch him a lot. He's the most deceptive player in the field because he's a line drive hitter.
He's awesome at this event, though.
No, but the reason he's great at this event is because he has so much pure power, he can miss pitches and still hit them for homers.
A couple things. First of all, I know you're shocked by all the information I had on the home run derby.
Considering you hate it.
Yeah.
I would love to hear you talk about something you like in the research you have on that.
Well, when we get to Georgia this week on college football, I'm ready to go. But, you know, here's the thing. It was interesting because I saw that 484 and I thought,
I had no idea. Is that long or short? I had no clue. So I started to look it up, and I looked up the longest home runs hit at Seattle.
This includes like Bonds too for home run derbies. Like, what did he do? Yeah, there were Baltimore, a couple of, like Ken Griffey in Baltimore off the building. Like,
that was 493.
Was it 493?
Yeah,
okay,
because they have the outline of the ball on the warehouse on Utah Street still.
I think that first of all, in these bets, you can take the long shot because remember, you're facing your selected pitcher. These guys can all hit the ball out of the park. You don't have to hit it 500 feet. You just got to get it over the fence.
Speaking of, Pete Alonso has done this with two other people. He's doing it this year with his former high school or middle school assistant coach. So third different guy throwing him balls here. So we'll see how that plays out. There's no value in betting him at 310, though.
No.
You can't do it.
Even though I will say, Dustin, the winner of this event is coming, at least to me, the winner of this event's coming from the winner of Alonso and Julio Rodriguez in round one.
Well, I think it makes sense because Rodriguez knows the ballpark.
Rodriguez knows the ballpark. He was really good in it last year. Alonso is the one guy who is close to perfecting this thing. I think the winner of this is coming out of it. And I agree with Amal's assertion that taking a long shot is good here. I have no problem if you want to put some pizza money on Adley Rutschman. I have no idea what it's going to look like for him in this event, but I don't mind taking a shot on a long shot in this event.
As a pizza expert, I can tell you, though, it depends on where you're purchasing your pizza because it can vary in pricing from getting robbed at the Strip to a normal joint around town where you're not getting ripped off. So it depends on where you're going. But here's the thing I would eliminate. I would not take a left-hander in this one. 381 down the line in right center. I'm sorry, in right center and, mm-hmm. and center is 401. But left field is 331. That's a little bit of a shorter porch.
So
there.
You would go with either Mookie or Rosarena at digits.
I actually like some for if we're going long shots, either Adolis Garcia or Rosarena from that matchup. I think they
no
both,
problem with that.
And I think there's a stamina aspect to this, which is why I'm That's fading key. Vlad, and he's a bigger player.
I don't understand how he's 190.
190 pounds?
No, plus 190.
Oh, he's plus 190 to make the finals.
The finals.
But he should not be the second favorite necessarily. I apologize, Dustin, but real quick, I want to correct something I said. The right field wall here is 326.
Right field's 326?
326, 381 to right center, 401 to dead center, 378 to left center, and 331 to right left field.
It's the Julio Rodriguez angle makes sense.
Those are the two. I can't bet either of them because all the value sucked out of both of them. But those would be the only two guys that I'd even look at.
Rosarena was the guy. I just think he's got something. He's got a flair.
He definitely is a flair. There's no arguing that. We're going to continue the baseball talk. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but we'll get back to the NL Cy Young, even the AL Cy Young. That's next. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSIN, which is why we've already released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and get your digital copy of the VSIN betting guide, NFL betting guide right now, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for just $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back in. Sharp Money's the show. I'm Jeff Parles. Amal Shah's here. Dustin Sweetelson is here. Half hour from now, we're going to check in with Mo Dakhil, find his work over at The Athletic. A lot of good NBA talk with Mo. And also, too, Dustin doing a great job, as always, booking out the show. Former Met killer Mark Reynolds joins us in an hour. Remember that series? First year Citi Field was open, Dustin. Mark Reynolds, 4 home runs in 2 days.
Yeah, because it especially hurt because at that point, the Mets couldn't hit home runs in their own ballpark.
Yeah, that was when Citi Field was impossible to hit homers, and Reynolds just domination.
Yeah, it was basically Yellowstone.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Yes, that's a good way.
Patrick and I always get into this fight where he'll try to tell me about how bad David Wright was. And I have to explain to him, in David Wright's prime, they built a stadium where he could only hit 10 home runs a year in. And they had to move the fences in like 30 feet.
I didn't know that Patrick was anti.
He just says he's overrated. I'm like, one, they built a stadium he couldn't hit homers in when like the Orioles built Camden Yards to extend Cal Ripken's power. Two, he slid into a base. They told him he injured his hamstring, and he fractured his back.
Yeah, that was one of the best medical mess-ups by the Mets. That was a pretty darn good one.
By the way, he played technically, I mean, 2018, he played two games.
Yeah.
But he played 15 seasons?
Well, he was hurt.
He was hurt a lot
of
the back end of it.
15, 16, and he didn't play in 17, so he played 14 seasons. But, yeah, I get that last 4 years, or I mean, 38 games, 37 games, and then two games, and he missed all of 2017. But, listen, to stay in the big leagues that long is impressive.
Yeah, it's just he was going to be – look at those early years. I mean, he was potentially a 30-30 guy at one point. Like, he was on the cusp of that.
He's a lifetime 296 hitter, and I'll tell you what. If you throw out those last 4 years where he was, I mean, you know, 269, 289, 226, and officially a zero average in 2018, this guy's had a very, very good career.
That his final game in 2018 was like the highest priced non-playoff game in the history of Citi Field also, as wild as that was. Even though the best David Wright moment of all time, though, 2015 wasn't the homer in the World Series, Dustin. The homer that he hit today in Philadelphia when the Mets set their record for most home runs in an individual game, where he hit the ball basically on the I-95 in his first.
That was his first game back.
First game back from the injury.
What are we on, Kiner's corner?
No, well, I had to bring it up because we know our allegiances.
Here's the problem, though. The Mets fans have already checked out. They're ready for 2024.
No, they're not. Dave Ross had a take yesterday on the handle where he's like, it's not over yet. And I'm like, I feel like I need to give Dave the number to a licensed therapist.
Dave, let me tell you something.
He's got to get over it.
I love Dave Ross, but he's the kind of guy who tells a guy who couldn't even get his death penalty sentence commuted, like, hang in there, buddy. It's all going to work out.
For what it's worth, 6.5 games or 7 games out for the Mets behind the Giants right now. The Padres, 6 games behind the Giants. The Padres are the one team I still don't get. You got a pretty significant positive run differential. Pitching's been great. Just can't hit with runners and scoring.
By the way, we were talking about Blake Snell. Blake Snell, Cy Young candidate. He's also in a contract year.
Someone will overpay him.
Well, they might trade him.
You don't think San Diego's going to convince themselves they're still in the race? Six back?
But I don't think they're going to sign him to another deal. They have so much other big money tied up.
I understand that perspective of it. But if they think they're still in the race, they're not traded anything.
It depends. You know, here's the thing. Their schedule when they come out of the break right now is crucial. They've got 4 games at Philadelphia, which is really important because you're chasing
huge
the
series.
Phillies, right? The Phillies are 0.5 game outside of the wild card. This is one where, I'll be honest, they have to go 3-1. Now, what bodes well for them is Musgrove and Blake Snell both pitched over the weekend. You're going to have an opportunity to utilize both of these guys after the All-Star break immediately. This is a good situation in terms of how it lines up. They are playing a doubleheader on Saturday, but this is an important 4-game set. Boy, they got 10 games on the road to start the post-All-Star break. We're going to find out real quick if they're going to be sellers on Blake Snell or not. And I think Dustin brings up an excellent point. That is the one thing that, to me, could hurt him in terms of the Cy Young. Let's say he got traded to somewhere like Milwaukee.
Or Cincinnati, where it's a small ballpark.
Or how about the even worse scenario? He gets traded to the American League, and then he can't win the NL.
No, that would hurt.
That's the nightmare one.
You know what? I didn't even think about that, and you're absolutely right, Jeff. That's a very good point. We talked about that with Shohei Ohtani, but you're absolutely right. And you know, Zach Gallen, I don't like him at 2-1, but Gallen was outstanding over the weekend.
I feel like people think I'm just always trashing on Zach Gallen. I think Zach Gallen's having a very good year. But I do not think his numbers are not that significantly better than the other people at 15-1 and 950 and 3. Like, he is priced way too short for the season he's having.
100% agree.
He's been fine. He has not been far and away the best pitcher in the NL.
He is the All-Star Game starter, by the way. That was announced earlier today. Him and Garrett Cole will be the starters tomorrow night in Seattle. Amal, you got your bets ready for the All-Star Game? Got it all lined up?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I wanted to win the bet to appease Dustin, so I bet the American League and the National League.
Did you middle it?
I didn't middle it. I just wanted to tell you I got a winner on the game. You know, I didn't even know what the odds are, but I just wanted to let you know I bet both sides.
Yeah, but in order to be a member of gambling Twitter, you don't say that out loud. You just tweet out the winning ticket after the game happens.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. All these people pass posting their winners. You know what? If you genuinely, but it's sincere, here's part of the problem, though, why people don't actually put the tickets. Not because they don't want to show losing bets, But because people sit there and criticize them when they lose, why do you care? It's somebody else's money. Fade or follow.
See, this is where I disagree with you. I think if I put out every bet I bet, I don't want to argue with over the bet. If you don't like my bet, don't bet the bet.
No, that's my point. People should not be critical of you. They should just be saying, thank you. I disagree. Whatever it may be, you can bet the other side. But I don't like the fact that people get negatively criticized for when they make a play. You don't have to follow it. You can fade it if you want.
But I'm going to celebrate if I hit a big ticket. If it's like a massive ticket, I'm hitting it.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing, though, Maul, that you're missing here is you're expecting most people to have logic. Well, which does not exist in 2023.
That I don't disagree.
I will say I've not seen any people post the tickets after they win on Threads yet. So maybe Threads has been banning it.
Have you Amal, are you Threads on Threads? Yet? You even know what Threads is?
I do know what Threads is. I have not joined it yet. I'll worry about it shortly.
If you have to.
Shortly.
He summarized it well. If I have to.
By the way, one last thing on the NL Cy Young. Because, of course, I'm dealing with the other 66% of the show having Blake Snell tickets.
Well, yeah, I mean, Amal and I got on him really early. I got 40-1. He got 35. I think I came back at 30 and 25-1. Like, I think the number was too big at the time. And right now, I'm proven correct.
Well, look, you see it after Saturday's performance, it dropped from like 15-1 down to 950. I think it was a bit of an overreaction. And both of you are correct in one area. You said he could potentially be traded. If we don't see the Padres go, I would say at least 6-4, potentially 7-3 on this 10-game road trip. I think if you're San Diego, you genuinely have to be look at being sellers. You've got Bogarts, you've got Tatis, you've got Machado.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but you're also not going to potentially retain Blake Snell. Musgrove, you signed up to a long-term deal. Why not go get some young pieces to put in with Kim and Cronenworth locked in for a while? This team could be pretty good, but I don't think it's a bad move necessarily to get rid of Blake Snell. And Blake Snell was 21-5 when he won the Cy Young in, 2018 or 2019 with Tampa? I would not overpay for him because he has been inconsistent. A two-month stretch doesn't justify a six-year, $150 million contract.
Well, that's the thing with Snell. I mean, other than really since Kevin Cash took him out in 2020, he's been all over the place up until this stretch where – yeah, you'll get some good. You get a lot of strikeouts, but he walked the ballpark a lot. That's why
he still does.
But in this stretch, though, Amal, his walks are down from what they were when he was all over the place. That's why he's looked as good as he has over the last nine starts now.
By the way, the other day, Dustin, his strikeout bet on Saturday was 7. He had 7 strikeouts through 3.
Yeah, ended up with 11 easily.
But this is who we always thought he was, right? Yeah. It's not like this is a total, like, people thought he was a middle-of-the-rotation guy. Everyone always thought he was a legit ace. We just never really saw him put it together, stay healthy, be dominant consistently. I don't think he can keep up the pace he's on, but I think he can regress to a level that will still keep him at the top of the Cy Young betting board.
I feel like this award is kind of like the Heisman. It's whoever the media anoints is given.
Well, that's why I think Gallen is perceived to be, again,
you're correct.
2-1. 2-1 is not an overwhelming favorite when the next two guys are at plus 350, but Gallen should not be the favorite right now.
Dustin and I've been arguing the whole time.
But I'm in agreement with you guys. Right now, I would guess Strider should be the smallest of favorites right now.
He just has a lot of strikeouts.
The reality is the leader right now should be Clayton Kershaw.
But the injury is going to hold him.
He's on 15 days. He's going to miss it. We got a week off through the All-Star break.
Not wrong. Let's go to some bets that we have in pocket. Are they dead? Are they alive? We'll check them out next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings app today, and new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus instantly. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Welcome back in Sharp Money on VSIN. I'm Jeff Parles. I'm Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson here as well. And Dustin, are these all in your pocket right now?
These are not actual, like, these are current bets right now out there. And I'm asking you, if someone bought this ticket right now, would you consider it dead or alive?
Okay. I didn't know if you bet all of these, because I would have been very impressed if you did.
I actually have none of these.
You have none of these?
Yeah, I have none of these.
Wow. It's a little bit surprising.
I do have other tickets on the Cincinnati Reds we can start with.
Yeah, let's start there.
I have them 150-1 to win the NL.
So
how much?
150-1.
Wow.
I remember when before this run started, the Reds looked like they were well underway to winning 71 games. And now in first place going to the All-Star break.
They have the second best record in the majors since Elly De La Cruz was called up, which did you see what he did over the weekend?
I did.
He, for those that missed it, he stole second, he stole third, and then he just decided to steal home consecutively.
Pretty good. Kid's pretty good at this baseball thing.
He honestly, if he was born in America, he would not be a baseball player. We would have found another way to utilize his athleticism.
Actually, you're right about that because he's from the DR, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
He's so big. He's so fast. He's powerful. I mean, he has physical tools that we just don't see in baseball players.
Was he 6'6 or 6'7?
I think he's
6'5.
I think he's 6'5.
What's his? O'Neill
Cruz is 6'7.
Cruz is taller than him. 6'5 on LA Day with Cruz.
Yeah, 6'5.
But he looks like, you know, there are people you look and you go, this person looks every bit of 6'5. He looks that way. There are other guys, I know it's the NBA, so I assume they're about, if they say 6'5, then I know they're 6'2.
Yeah.
I mean, but De La Cruz looks the part, right? Like he's an all airport team guy.
Yeah.
He's the first guy you want off the plane just to show the other team, this is what you're going up against.
The all airport team. I like that.
He has that thing where the ball off his bat makes a different noise on TV.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's a thud. Like other people hit the ball, he hits with a thud.
But he's fun to watch, right? Like I find myself when I look at the lineup, and I'm not involved in Reds games much. But I'll be like, all right, let me see. He's coming up second or third in the inning. I'm going to put on the Reds game.
He's a buy a ticket when he comes to your city guy. There's very few of them in baseball.
Correct.
But you're like, oh, the Reds are in town. I should probably see Elly De La Cruz so I can at least say I saw him in person one time.
Pretty amazing for a guy who's been in the big leagues for barely 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what's crazy about it is he's been so good that it's taken away from the accomplishments of what McLean is doing at short for them and some of these other young guys.
Steer has been awesome too as a rookie.
And Abbott's been great. And it's like you don't even talk about them because this guy's just so overwhelmingly impressive.
If you did not see his steal of home plate, go on YouTube and watch it. And the reason why I love the play is because it was not actually like a straight steal. The ball was thrown back to the pitcher. He catches it about 55 feet, is walking back towards the mound, is just kind of in la-la land, not paying attention. He takes advantage of the fact that the third baseman's about 20 feet off the bag and then just decides to take a chance in a one-run game that gave them a two-run lead. To me, it said a lot to me about him as a player and his engagement in the game. And what I mean by that is, I mean, he's always paying attention. He's right there. And that makes a huge difference.
This is one of the best rookie of the year fields ever in the National League. Because Corbin Carroll right now is a minus 300 favorite. Elly De La Cruz is plus 250. In any other year, McLean, Alvarez, Steer, Senga would all legitimately be in the mix. And those four names I just mentioned have no chance because of how good both Carroll and De La Cruz have been so far this year. But going to the bet that Dustin wanted to put on this list, the Reds to win the NL pennant at 22-1, there is no chance I would take that bet at the moment.
So you'd say it's dead?
No chance.
Even anticipating an aggressive deadline from them in a wide-open NL Central.
Them making the playoffs and them winning a wild card series, a division series, and an NLCS are two totally different things to look at because the Reds, I think, will win the NL Central. The only thing that could really hurt them is if they don't move a little bit earlier than you have to than usual because of the six games remaining with Milwaukee before the end of the month, and they go, let's say, 1-5 in those six with Milwaukee, they could put themselves in a hole that they don't necessarily need to be in. But unless if they go out and get Stroman and, like, let's say, Snell's available, let's say they get both Stroman and Blake Snell, they need them both, in my opinion, with the way their starting rotation is, and then you're still dealing with the horrible bullpen leading up to the other Diaz, I don't think they're good enough pitching-wise in order to get through three playoff series.
But the other Diaz might become the main Diaz. He has 26
he's
saves
been excellent.
before the All-Star break.
I mean, the only guy in that bullpen has been reliable at all.
I mean, to me right now, first of all, I don't think Stroman's as good as people think he is.
And you're starting to see him.
And he's starting to kind of taper off a little bit.
I think
he's better than what they have with the injuries right now.
I think the thing about Stroman that you don't appreciate until you watch him night in, night out is he's a guy who does battle because he doesn't have overwhelming stuff.
Yeah.
So And he's always going to give you innings and take the burden off of a bullpen. That's the one thing I loved about him as a Met. The year when we had the seven-inning doubleheaders, he always started one of the doubleheader games because they knew he could go seven. He might allow three or four runs, but he's going to go seven.
The seven-inning doubleheader games. Boy, that was, thank goodness that didn't stick around for more than the 2 years.
Need some asterisks for those years.
That was totally messed up the whole handicap. Let's go to another one here. I want your thoughts here. Let's go to the NFC North. Let's go to some football here. On this list, we have the Bears at 4-1 to win the NFC North.
Yeah.
Okay, you can get about, I think the peak you can get is about plus 450 out there right now. Amal, the only reason I'm not going to say that this is a bet that I would want nothing to do with is I think everyone in that division is mediocre. I think that entire division is average. And when you get an average division, especially with a last-place schedule, if Fields improves to what people think he can be, with that last-place schedule, Chicago is very much live to win the NFC North because I don't trust anyone else in that division.
Well, here's the other thing, though. When you look at the starting quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and Jordan Love, Justin Fields easily has the highest ceiling.
He's the most talented.
There's no question about it. So the upside is fantastic with him. The Bears have revamped their roster. I still have some concerns about them defensively, but I think improving the offensive line with what he could potentially do in the running game as well. I think he was seventh in rushing yards in the NFL last year. I don't think this team is out of it. I think Minnesota takes a step back. They lose Za'Darius Smith. They lose Dalvin Cook. They won five games last year by 3 points. They were in a lot of tight games that could have gone the other way. Think about this. We talk about this with the Miami Marlins and their success in one-run games. If you look at the Minnesota Vikings at 13-5, that includes the postseason. They were, 13-4 during the regular year? This team probably comes back to about 10-7, and Dustin and I are not big fans of saying, well, they're regressed to the norm. Sometimes the norm isn't there. You go out and win the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, that's your norm. But the point is, I just don't think they were as good as people think they are. And Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson's led the league in rushing yards the last 3 years. He's tremendous. We'll see how effective this team can be from an offensive standpoint.
The two things with Minnesota. First off, I know why they cut Dalvin Cook. It's still stupid, though.
It is.
It's still stupid. For a guy who has a lot left in the tank, and I like Madison as a backup running back, but not as a number one, you're just...
I agree with you completely.
For a very small cap reason, you are letting a guy who's going to help you go. By the way, Dalvin Cook hasn't signed yet. I expect him to sign with either the Jets or the Dolphins. I don't know why the Jets would do it, because if Hall's healthy, he's better than Cook is.
I think it's because they don't know how much
they're getting. They don't know how much they're going to be able to get out of Hall. That's the question.
And when you're a team that you're anything less than making the Super Bowl is a disappointment for what the Jets have assembled this year with adding Aaron Rodgers, the age he's at, I think you need as much depth at every position, and running back does matter for that.
They're not making the Super Bowl. They're not making the Super Bowl.
Who?
The Jets.
I'll book that.
You think they're making the Super Bowl?
I think they definitely could.
No, I think they can, but there's just too many teams that are better than them in the AFC.
Well, how many? Go ahead, tell us.
Kansas City's better.
Yep.
Cincinnati's better. And I think Jacksonville's better.
Whoa.
I would say Buffalo's better than the Jets, maybe. But here's the thing. I think from a roster standpoint, outside of Patrick Mahomes, I don't think the Chiefs are better man per man than the New York Jets.
But here's the two kickers with that, though. Mahomes is the best player on planet Earth. And if he stays healthy, Kansas City, we know what they're going to be.
I agree there.
And Kansas City is the best head coach in the NFL going at this point, in Andy Reid. So, yes, I know Belichick still exists, but at this point, I'd rather have Reid than Belichick.
I've always said Belichick's got a losing record without Tom Brady starting, you're not going to get a Belichick vote for me. He had 4 out of 5 years in Cleveland were losing seasons.
And for me, this will be brought up through the week. I think Buffalo's more likely to miss the playoffs than make the AFC title game this year.
See, because everyone is writing them off already. I'm buying low on the post-hype Bills.
Well, the quote-unquote sharper bettors are high on the Bills because you see those markets are still high. And I don't see any rationale for having Buffalo be shorter than Cincinnati in any market.
I agree.
And they're shorter in every market than Cincinnati. That kind of tells you a little bit of something. Mo Dakhil is going to join us next. He's at the Summer League. We got plenty of thoughts NBA-wise with Bo next.